said.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay. Some fucking is good for you, though, Jack. Getting some pussy beats having a war. I ain't lying. Coming is a lot of fun. Because I never got no pussy when I was a legal teenager. Not much goes, oh, fuck you, can't even sing. Yeah, just sing or something, get some pussy. Right, girls used to do horrible shit to a nigga. Because they wasn't giving up no pussy. In the 50s, it was very seldom you got any parts of pussy. Right, you'd be tongue kissing and shit, Jack. Dick get hard in times in 29. Right, nuts go all up in your stomach. You ever had that? You know, you'd be,
oh, you gotta give me some now.
I'm not giving anything, I'm on my period.
You're on your period again? You're gonna bleed to death, bitch.
Hey, and I tried to get home before 11, because that's when my father had me be home by 11. My father was one of them 11 o'clock niggas. Say, where you going, Richard? Say, huh? Well, nigga, you ain't asked nobody could you go no place. What the fuck, you a man now, nigga? Get a job, that's what you have. I don't give a fuck where you go be home by 11. You understand 11, don't you, nigga? You can tell time, can't you? What's that clock say in the kitchen, nigga? The clock, motherfucker, what's the clock say? 11 o'clock, bring your ass here. I don't mean down the street singing with them niggas either. I ain't getting your ass out of jail no more, motherfucker. That's right, bring me back a paper. Right? And you go out, nothing start happening till 11:30. Right, all the dudes be just standing around shit. I said, what you waiting on, man?
11:30. We gonna pitch a bitch at 11:30.
I'd have to get home, man, with my blue nuts all that. Oh, God. You don't get home. Nigga, I thought I told you to be home by 11. I don't want to hear that shit.
All right, and welcome to Sportsaholics, episode number 75. Okay, that is the fake train whistle because Eric is not here today. Eric Marino, my co-host on Sportsaholics, unfortunately is at the Comedy Store right now hosting his Show Up, Go Up mic. And if you're in LA, please, on a Sunday, go down to the Comedy Store across from the House of Blues on the world-famous Sunset Strip, the world-famous Comedy Store. Say, hey, I want to go to the Show Up, Go Up open mic. And regardless if you say, I want to perform, or you say, hey, I want to watch, they're going to give you the same direction. That's go around the back, go upstairs, make sure you're 21. From 10 to midnight, great show. And so Eric is there, unfortunately, so we can't get his thoughts and opinions on the Tom Brady suspension. Because, guys, it's been a while, and I want to apologize. We've had a ton of technical difficulties. I've managed to figure out some things. I reordered a few things here and there. I guess what I did is I invested into the show, and so you can thank me for that, because, you know, it's hard to be like, okay, I need to spend XYZ to reorder this thing to replace it. But after a while, we missed doing the show, and so we wanted to bring it back. So we got the problem fixed, and a lot's happened since our last show, and we're not going to run through all that, but I'll tell you right now, our guest today is going to be Mark Cassidy of the Hillbenders, an amazing band that actually is from the Ozarks in Missouri, Springfield, Missouri. Mark himself actually grew up in California on the beaches of Huntington Beach, California, surfing, skateboarding, playing baseball. How he ended up in a bluegrass band in the middle of the Midwest, we'll let you find out. He'll be on later to talk about that. He grew up in L.A., so it's going to be Dodgers. He grew up in Angels land and somehow loves the Dodgers, Lakers, and Dolphins for whatever reason. But I've been doing a lot with sports. You know, obviously Sportsaholics, it does consume me. And recently it's been baseball. Look, it's the Royals. It's simple. You know, after 29 years of constantly sucking, the fact that they are competitive now, I watch almost every game. I watch every game I can, or at least listen to it a couple innings. You know, but I've watched, you know, entire 9-inning games, I don't know, at least 15 of them so far this season. But I can't get enough. And with that, you know, I started thinking about minor leagues and, you know, researching here and independent leagues. And I put together, I ended up writing a reality show based on independent league baseball. And I went to Kansas City with the Kansas City T-Bones, a great independent league franchise there. And if you're in the Midwest, you want to go see good family, fun entertainment, and great baseball, caliber, AA, AAA. There's guys that are on their way to the big leagues. There's guys that are on their way back from. But an extremely high caliber of baseball. So I went in there with some cameras and did some interviews and documented some things and pieced it together. And if you go to John, JonIsHere.com, I'll have the video up on the website where you can check it out. But it's just the trailer to this project. So if you're a baseball fan, check it out. You know, we're in the process of hopefully selling the show. So hopefully, you know, next fall, in a perfect world, World Series ends, and then the next week, Independence would start. But yeah, so that's been occupying a ton of my time recently, and so now I've gotten some more of that finished. That's, you know, that's why I've been able to get back in. But with Sportsaholics. But like I mentioned, this is episode number 75, the Mean Joe Green episode. And if you don't know Mean Joe Green, he was a defensive lineman for the Steelers in the 70s. And actually now, all these years later, is made famous by this commercial right here where kid offers him a Coke and he's like, nah, I'm good. And he's like, no, take it. He's like, fine, I'll take your Coke. And then drinks it. And then the kid just is immediately bummed out, like, damn, you drank all of my Coke.
Yeah.
You need any help?
Here you go. Mm-hmm.
I just want you to know, I think you're the best ever.
Best ever, kid.
Yeah, sure.
Want my Coke? It's okay, you can have it.
No.
Really, you can have it.
He doesn't want your Coke, kid.
Okay.
He's disgusted. Okay, so now he's chugging, just gulp. Kid's like, shrugs his shoulders, like, damn, bye. Turns around, walks away.
Thank you.
At this point, he's smiling like, hey, just. It's just have a Coke and have a smile. But it should be like, steal a kid's Coke, kind of feel bad about it, give him your game used jersey. I think that's what the slogan should have said. But yeah, so this is episode number 75. Each episode, we're, you know, like 76, will probably be Sean Bradley. I'm just guessing, the best 7'6" player. Maybe third best behind Mirashan, if you consider him 7'7", and then Manute Bol. You know, we can have that debate later when Eric's here, because he's grew up with the 80s basketball, being a Celtics fan. But this week in sports, let's see here. 1925, Lou Gehrig's streak began on June 1st, 1925. Bob Feller pitched his third no-hitter. And in talking to my grandfather, who is a World War II veteran and luckily still alive to this day, got the chance to watch some Royals with him when I was back in Kansas City last month. Watches every Royals game, loves the Royals. You know, it was great, great experience just sitting down watching the game with him. But Bob Feller, for him, he's just, go look at some of Bob Feller's stats. They're incredible. But for my grandfather to be like, yeah, Bob Feller for me is amazing. I'm like, well, you're 95, and I trust your opinion on baseball. And so Bob Feller, yeah, on June 1st, pitched his third no-hitter. Kurt Warner was released in 2004 on this date, which is crazy to think that really that whole, like, greatest show on turf era was really just like a flash in the pan. in NFL history. I mean, it was like two or three seasons. Did revolutionize offensive play in the league, but Kurt Warner, now all these years later, you would have thought the man won like five Super Bowls, but it was the Rams, so I'm not shit-talking on Kurt Warner. I mean, he was good, and considering he went from bagging groceries to the Super Bowl in like 12 months, it's pretty incredible. And last but not least, let's not forget in 2011 on June 1st, Shaquille O'Neal retires as a Boston Celtic. And let's not forget, Shaq played for Boston. Shaq played in Phoenix. Shaq played in Los Angeles. Shaq played in Orlando. Shaq played in Miami. Shaq played everywhere. Yeah, 19 seasons is a lot of time to play a lot of places. Dominique Wilkins played in Boston. A lot of people forget that. And I get that's the end of a career. But Shaq, I guess what I'm saying, maybe he should have retired in 2007, maybe before the Boston years. And I might have even left out a team. That was just off the top of my head. For those of you listening for the first time, let me get more in depth with Sportsaholics. We go back about four and a half years now, and well, I guess about 74 episodes, and we broadcast primarily from Hollywood, either at the Comedy Store or from my co-host Eric Marino's studio. And it started off as a show that was kind of based at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. As comedians, Eric and I would talk sports all the time with other comics from all over the country, and then that just sort of evolved as podcasts were invented, I guess you could say. We just started having guests on, talking sports and that sort of thing, which is great because, you know, not only are comics, they're funny, but a lot of them love sports, love music, you know, and are you know, they're just regular people. And so to have the opportunity to have, you know, a Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live on, you know, Steve Byrne, who's one of my favorite comics from travels all over the country, is awesome, from Sullivan and Son on TBS. We had Steve Renazzisi. Actually, here's a great example from, man, this is a clip from about 4 years ago, with Steve Renazzisi from the league talking about being a Knicks fan.
I'm talking like 10 million, life, wasn't it? Generational wealth. Probably more, dude. Probably more.
I think 10 million.
Do you maybe, watch...
maybe
you,
more.
You're a Knicks fan, though, right? You're a
yes.
Knicks guy. Do you watch games now? I mean, they're fun to watch now.
Look, I watched... am I going to be honest with you? Yeah, I was like, okay, if I'm not getting the fucking NBA package for the last
right.
3 years.
No, yeah, not for the Knicks.
But I didn't get it this year either, but they're aired a lot more on ESPN.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I'm watching more. I'm into it more.
They're definitely better. Now they're somewhat watchable. They're going to go to the playoffs.
Look, Amari Stoudemire, who I think is our Carl Crawford, because I watched us pay Larry Johnson for the last 2 years of his contract $40 million a year, and the guy never played a fucking game.
He
played golf. Yeah, dude, he retired, and that's guaranteed money. And right. This guy is one elbow away from not having one eye and one fucking click away from his knee falling off his fucking body. Trust me, he broke down 2 years ago. So, yeah, he's doing great this year.
Right.
But I think the guy's got two more years in him. He's gonna fucking hit the wall hard. Do you think?
And there you have it. Steve Renazzisi called it 4 years ago. And that episode was posted in May of 2011. So, yeah, he called it 4 years ago. Stoudemire was washed up and done. And still, the Knicks are awful. And so are the Lakers, which is why they got the number two pick overall in this year's draft. Kobe's coming back, I guess, healthy, maybe. And for you NBA fans out there, or you people like myself who grew up in cities that don't have an NBA team, this, I think, I always wanted to see Allen Iverson play in public, in person. When I was in college, I drove and saw Jordan play. His last game, well, when he was with the Wizards, I saw him play against the Bulls. And, I mean, the game was horrible. I mean, I think Jordan went like 3 for 16. We drove, I don't know, it's like 8 hours. We got there at halftime. We were just like, screw it. We'll go in. And it's my first NBA game, actually. But I didn't get to see Iverson play ever, really, or let alone in his prime. And not that Kobe's in his prime, but what I would say is, go out of your way just to say, you know, just to go watch him play if you haven't. Because, I mean, he on any given night, he could still put 50 in, which is crazy. And I'd say the same with LeBron, too, because look at, I mean, he's been in the league a long time now. LeBron is no longer from Akron, Ohio. LeBron's just from everywhere because the man is well-traveled and old and realistically maybe only has 3 or 4 good years left in him. So LeBron and Kobe, the NBA is about to switch over. Like in the next 4 years, there's going to be a whole new crop of stars, and it's exciting. And it's what happens about every 10 or 12 years because the NBA hit a big lull there in the mid-aughts, if you will. Really every year that the Spurs win was a bad year for the NBA. So there was a lot of those over the past decade or so. You got your powerhouses or your traditional powers or your big city markets that are all down right now in Boston and in, New York with the Knicks. And I guess... yeah, they made the playoffs, the Nets, Brooklyn, but, you could argue they're down. I mean, they're not going anywhere. The Lakers are down. Clippers are up, but, I mean, blowing a for sure trip to the NBA Finals is it's upsetting. Or not the NBA Finals, but the Conference Finals is upsetting, and I think they would have contended a lot better against the Warriors. Just could not get it done against Houston, though. So, and that's a whole other episode. But while we're on the topic NBA, I'll go ahead and sit down with Mark Cassidy of the Hillbenders. If you go to hillbenders.com, follow them at on Twitter at Hillbenders, HILLBENDERS. So here you have it, Mark Cassidy of the Hillbenders, talking Dodgers, talking growing up in Southern California on the beaches, talking hot bitches, talking skateboarding, talking banjos, talking bluegrass music, all that stuff you associate with the warm California sun. All right, and we are back with Mark Cassidy of the Hillbenders. Hello. Welcome to Sportsaholics. I know you as a Dodgers fan, and I'm having you on to talk about the Lakers a little bit today, and really to talk about your craft of music and the Hillbenders. Now, as we're talking now, we're in Los Angeles. So I'd say pretty close to the heart. At least one of the arteries of it.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely my... when I moved here to Los Angeles, I definitely had in mind to live pretty much equal distance from Dodger Stadium and Staples Center.
Now, you're close to the Coliseum also, where the Raiders once played.
Yes, yes,
what?
Yes.
Are you a Raiders fan? What's going on with that?
I am not a Raiders fan. I am a Miami Dolphins fan, which is... we've definitely had our ups and downs as of late, but
you're a dolphin. You can't drown.
No. There's no sink or swim. Yeah, there's only swim, no sink.
Yeah, as long as Shula's around, you guys are fine. But as soon as he passes, then you got to bring in Bobby Bowden or something, some sort of Florida lineage, I think.
Well, the worry is his kid. Where's his kid now? I can't remember right now, but his kid's coaching now, so.
Oh, Shula.
Yeah.
Don Shula's younger son.
So now he's got, we got another Shula on the.
How do the Dolphins, I mean, is it because they're a warm weather team and you grew up in Southern California?
Uh-huh. Yep, correct. Well, I kind of inherited the Dolphins fandom. My dad was a big Dolphins fan for a very long time, and then my brother was a diehard Dolphins fan ever since, he knew what was on the television, and I was kind of late to the party. I kind of didn't have an allegiance for a long time, and kind of just at one point was a big Randy Moss enthusiast.
Well, who wasn't? I mean, the guy is amazing.
Out of control. It's probably one of the, I would have to say, my favorite. or top five favorite athletes I've seen in my lifetime.
I would recommend, have you seen the Rand U on the ESPN 30 for 30? Yeah, that's a good, yeah. Watch, listeners, listen, go on Netflix, the Rand University. It's about the town. It's not even really a town. It doesn't have a post office code, but it's just called Rand, West Virginia, and it's just pretty much, it looks like a concentration camp, you know, just, but it's like generations of generation, like no one leaves. And so it just, all these amazing athletes are just standing on the corner by the Circle K drinking liquor, and they're all, and they talk to them all, and they're just like, yeah, man, I didn't do anything but sports, and now I'm here, and everyone, that's the aspirations for people in that town, are just to stand on that corner and talk about
hanging at the filling station.
Yeah, well, it could have been. And so, but yeah, check that out.
I'm not sure if there's any Circle K's out there though.
Maybe not Circle. definitely no come and go. So
yeah, no.
Well, you said the top five. Give me a couple other top five.
Well,
Dan Marino.
Dan Marino, definitely. Dan Marino was. We have Dan Marino memorabilia hanging all over my parents' house, so we were all.
I did notice the first time I went over there. I was like, there's an awful lot of Dolphins crap everywhere.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's no shame involved with the Cassidy family. Yeah, I would say Dan Marino. Watching Dan Marino as a kid, it was funny, you know, because I obviously was on the later end of watching Dan Marino. As far as coherently watching,
yeah,
Dan Marino.
we caught the isotoner Dan Marino years, you know, the glove commercial years.
But it was always, you know, talk about a player that always strived and hung around a struggling team through thick and thin, you know, just for the love of.
And talking about, I mean, had to have been one of the most frustrating careers.
Oh yeah,
crushes passing records, absolutely shatters them.
Peaks
10 months into your rookie season by going to the Super Bowl, 10 months after you're drafted and never returning for the next, I think, 14 seasons.
And with the looming no ring debate on his very impressive career, you know, it's always interesting to have that conversation with people because everyone's got their corner of the ring they're standing in, you know, and mine's obviously number 13. So it's
so you're saying your life depends on it. You've got what I guess was that Irving Fryer streaking down the sidelines, and you want, the only guy you want to throw that ball for a touchdown to save your life is Dan Marino.
I mean, just that guy could throw bombs for days, you know. And that
he could. That was his
one of the strongest arms I've ever seen.
Yeah, part of that Pennsylvania quarterback lineage is like go Wikipedia quarterbacks from Pennsylvania. It is a ridiculous list of NFL quarterbacks that are all from the state of Pennsylvania.
Just, you know, it's quite impressive.
So, okay. So you grew up in down in Huntington Beach, correct?
Yep, correct.
In thereabouts. You grew up with rooting for the Dolphins. Lakers when they're horrible, as a teenager you get Kobe in there, and they kind of sort of like, by the time you're in high school, they're back on top. You got Shaq, everyone's dancing, Mark Madsen's doing his robot thing, making himself famous.
Don't forget about Madsen.
And then you're rooting on the Dodgers, you know, they're always in and around, they're always competitive, if you will. But you're on the beach surfing, right? Just help me out here. Where did you just find a banjo laying on the ground one day, or what? Like, how does that even come into play? Did you accidentally watch Hee Haw once when you were a kid?
Well, I'll tell you, I got into the banjo and bluegrass at kind of a later stage of my life. I was about 14 years old, and you know, another part of being born in the time that I was born and raised on the music I was raised on. I was raised with my mom listening to tons of Rod Stewart, my dad listening to, you know, Steely Dan and Chicago, and, you know, and for me, it was all about L.A. Rap. That's kind of where
So your CD collection, you've got some like DJ Quick, Ice Cube, maybe some like Drew Down from up north,
Dre,
some E-40.
Dre.
Dre. Yeah.
I mean, I still to this day.
Warren G, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, still to this day, I'll always say the Chronic 2001 is probably one of the most mind-blowing albums I've ever listened to in my entire life.
Front to back. Front to back. Arguably.
Just amazing track after track after track.
It's almost as good as the original. See, yeah. I'm going to side with the original only because... it had come out like in middle school, I remember. Yeah. And it was like, if you didn't know every lyric to that album when you got into eighth grade, that then it's like you just didn't even want to talk to anyone because no one wanted to associate with you because you weren't cool.
No, no. And that was another sort of deal. It was, I mean, when I was in high school, I mean, the hottest sex, it was when, you know, Eminem was just coming on, you know, just really hitting it hard in the scene.
Who's the real Slim Shady? The MTV Awards, they marched in like the 200 Marshall Mathers, I mean, 8 miles in the theaters.
It's genius.
Yeah.
And then later on, actually in high school, my main focus was actually the G-Unit. Was
okay.
You know, I've always
did you jump on the game bandwagon when he came out?
You know, he's an LA cat, you know, so it's you gotta have love for him.
Here's the thing with the game for me is the summer before I moved to LA was 2003, or it was like right around when I first got to LA. I was living in Manhattan Beach, and that album had come out. And they were just playing it on K-Day. I mean, it was all over the
Non-stop.
Place. And it's a great... I mean, I enjoy the album is what I'm saying.
That's a really great album.
First, the game album I did enjoy. And now that's like 10 years later. It probably still holds water.
Well, he couldn't have had a better camp on his side. No.
You can't lose.
At that time, you know, I've always
been... The only thing he messed up, he didn't fuck Kim Kardashian. That's where he messed up.
Yeah, he would have really blown up in that sense. You know, I've always thought best praises to the East Coast side of G-Unit was Lloyd Banks.
Yeah. That was Lloyd. He from Nashville?
No, Young Buck was from, he said, Cashville.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So you're listening to like West Coast rap and and you're just like, because I've heard some of the stuff you're doing now and it's amazing. You're actually kind of combining those two things together, with the bluegrass and the hip hop.
Slowly but surely, yes.
So did you just finally, like, one day there was a drive by and you're like, I can't shoot up houses anymore. This ain't my thing.
No, actually, it was at school. I had a substitute teacher. You know, I've always looked for the guy because I haven't talked to him since. He has no idea that I do this for a living, and I kind of find it funny, but. His name was Mr. Ben in school, and I had met him in Huntington Beach, and he said, you know what, I'm going to give you a CD tomorrow, and I want you to listen to it. And he gave me this CD, and it had, you know, I hadn't listened to it, and it sat in my backpack for months, you know, and one rainy day, I was like, you know what, I might as well give this thing, you know, a shot to see what he's got on there. And it turned out to be my favorite favorite artist of all time. You know, it was Doc Watson kicked it off with Sweet Georgia Brown, which is the Harlem Globetrotters theme. You know, that's how everyone would know that song.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and he, you know, acoustic guitar.
Now he just passed away a few years ago.
Yes, yes.
See, I remember at the time, like, I wasn't through listening to the Hillbenders, like, you know, on Pandora, and that opens up a few more thumbs up here, thumbs up there, and pretty soon that the channel's customized.
Yeah.
And so some Doc Watson had come up, and then, like, I was listening to NPR, and he had passed away, and they started playing more and more of his stuff, like, that day, and then, like, went back and listened to it, and just, like, an amazing story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Doc Watson has, you know, a very interesting life story, you know. He's a blind guitar player that, you know, was really one of the pioneers of the flat picking style of flat top guitar and just a folk, you know, folk blues legend. You know, he did all the jams, all those old chestnuts and everyone. I don't think there's a single guitar player out there, acoustic guitar player out there, blues or folk or jazz or bluegrass that hasn't been inspired by Doc Watson in some way.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, you lose your sense of sight, and maybe with that being gone, like, you know,
you get 10 more fingers,
you know. Yeah, you know, it's amazing because, like, through some of his songs too, it's like, for someone that's never seen anything, can sure, like, describe things really well. Yeah. You know, or like get, or very, you know, clearly, you it's know. And so
very impressive. I've seen him I saw him a few times, and out in the, you know, meeting people, and you know, and the guy, he was always, he always was aware, you know, he was very, was very personable, down to earth guy, and could hear anyone who asked him a question, you know. It was very impressive. The guy's very impressive.
And so you go home on the rainy day and you throw the CD in, yeah, and you're also, just like, what the hell is it?
It also had Jerry Garcia's bluegrass band, Olden in the Way, on there. And then they also, on there was Clarence White, another amazing, and bluegrass album band, which, you know, Tony Rice, and it was another brilliant J.D. Crowe on banjo. It's just a killer lineup of a band. So this is the most stacked, you know,
compilation you could put together.
You know, if you want to get someone into bluegrass, that's what you hand them, you know. So it blew me away. I asked my parents for a banjo shortly after that, and they looked at me, you know, like I was
yeah,
a lunatic.
They're like, where did you get this from? Yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and so, and that, you know, I could see my dad being a musician, being a piano player, guitar player. He did some musical work playing trumpet for the Music Man, and so he was very, very into music. My dad has always played really great music, and he was kind of, I could tell that he was pretty amped up when I said that I wanted to, because I played some trumpet. And he was all stoked about that, and I was like, "Oh, this is lame," you know. And
yes.
So, you know, being made fun of by your brother and sister because you play trumpet, you know, you're the only one who braved band.
And it's like the worst instrument to practice in the house,
of course,
too. Yeah.
Well, my mom used to come and pick me up from school. This was in like third or fourth grade. She'd pick me up from school, and I'd be so excited to show her this new thing that I just learned. And I sit in the back of her, you know, four door car, and I'm just like, "Burr!" You know, I'm sure, you know, she. I'm sure she enjoyed that.
She's like, got it.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the Lakers. And I mean, do you even watch the game? Have you even seen the game? Like,
yeah, you know, I've basketball season comes at a very weird time every year for me, you know, so it's kind of my least followed of my favorite sports, you know, but I really, you know, there's so many people that kind of traded in that purple and yellow for red and blue here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, the Clipper, those KU colors. Yeah.
Yeah, I think even Jack Nicholson is talking about it, or he's at least getting bribed.
I mean, I just
it.
Like the thing is, no one sees him at Lakers games because no one's watching. That's the problem.
Well,
you know.
You know that's you know. I do find it very surprising that, it is LA, but I do find it very surprising that people flip-flop like that on teams so easily.
Well, there's so many people that aren't here. I mean, when I first got to town, I loved the Clippers because the tickets were
$10. Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, and that was, I mean.
And Lakers tickets were through the roof.
Yeah, yeah, and always were. And now you can get Lakers tickets for free, and it's, I mean, it's crazy, and it's, I mean. I blame Kobe personally, just a little too selfish, a little too standoffish.
Yeah, you know,
and the injuries don't, you know.
I think he's injury prone, obviously, and he's got, you know, he's just really, I think he's in a really weird stage in his life right now, Kobe. You know, I feel sorry for the guy because he was literally one of the greatest. You know,
statistically, yeah.
Visually, you know, and he, you know, and he doesn't have it like he used to have it. So he's got to cope. I think there's how many stages to grief or something.
Well, in Kobe Bryant's case, not enough. Not there, never be enough.
I think he's still working on.
Well, here's the thing. Well,
denial.
This is what I love about Kobe. Before he hung it up this season with his shoulder or whatever his injury is. It got to it was a highlight on ESPN. They're like, look at Kobe. He's like, he shakes the guy left, right, turns around, shoots a turnaround jump shot with his left hand, and it goes in. Yeah. And I'm like, that's Kobe Bryant perfect right there. He would rather shoot a ball with his offhand than pass it to somebody else to take a shot with their normal hand. And so, you know, that's kind of – that's just kind of sums up Kobe Bryant. Now, I think recently in the media he's been a little bit more open and honest. Whatever that tone he always had in his voice, you know, that guarded kind of like, I'm not going to say anything that's going to be, you know, misconstrued as it's something else. And I think now he's just kind of in his older age, wised up a little bit. He just seems a little bit more human.
Yeah. You know, I think it comes in waves.
Well, he's got two years tops, I think.
I didn't think he would be around this long. You know, I think I always think at this point they really shouldn't be wasting that money keeping Kobe around as a player and transfer that and keep him as an advisor or something.
I don't think he should play anywhere else.
No,
I really don't.
If he played somewhere else, he would lose.
I love that Garnett is back in Minnesota now. Did you see that?
I think that's cool. You know, it's
great for Andrew Wiggins, who's scoring like 30 points a night now. It's crazy.
How about LeBron back in Cleveland?
They rode the ship there.
Yeah.
It's just, the thing with LeBron is now we've seen it so long.
Oh yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, that's it. So now it takes like Anthony Davis, who's like a 7-foot version, just skinny, to be like, wow, look at that. I can't believe that happened. You know, so it's just, I missed out on Iverson. I still haven't seen Kobe. Like, these are people I want to see live in person.
LeBron
is one of them, and I should probably do it next season before he gets too old or injured.
Yeah, well, Kobe is just right down the street if you want to go.
Yeah,
see him.
Watch him in a suit. He looks real nice.
He does look pretty good. You probably have a better chance of meeting the guy too.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just boring. I've never really liked the guy. The Lakers. The Lakers are just praying for the season to be over with. And I mean, they were shitting on him on Kimmel the other night. They showed the Lakers had lost 8 games in a row. They showed the team was just going nuts and Kobe. Kimmel's like, what do you think of that clip, Kobe? And he's just sitting there, like, shaking his head. Like, they looked like just complete idiots.
I'm on board with Magic on the whole deal.
Dude, I love Magic and what he's brought to the Dodgers now. Oh. Which, I mean, as I've known you over the years, you know, usually there's a Dodgers hat, you know, within arm's reach at most points. Was that something that was an easy decision? Because, I mean, Anaheim or California Angels.
just handed my pinball crown to him. Even on my favorite table, he can be my best. His disciples lead him in, and he just does the rest. He's got crazy flipper fingers, never seen him fall. That deaf, dumb, blind kid sure plays me.
All right, so thank you, Mark, for coming on and just talking about the pains of being a Lakers fan and really being a Dolphins fan and I guess kind of being a Dodgers fan. It's been, well, since 1988 since you had a World Series, but either way, yeah, they make it every year and then they lose to the Cardinals. That's just what the Dodgers do best. But again, you can follow Mark on Twitter, Instagram at Banjist09. That's BANJST09, Banjist09, or at Hillbenders, HILLBENDERS. And again, they will be touring with their new album, Tommy, bluegrass version of The Who's classic album, touring all over North America and really just staying busy. I know they're going up to New York and the East Coast and through Ohio into Canada, Toronto. You can go to, again, hillbenders.com and find out all those dates. So now we're going to switch it up a little bit and talk some football, soccer, a European football, however you want to call it. Sepp Blatter, the FIFA international president, was reelected after seven members of his committee got arrested in Switzerland and will be extradited to the United States to face charges on bribery and money laundering and all that kind of stuff. So what happened here is America loses out to Qatar and Russia for the World Cup in 2018 and or 2022. So they release, apparently they've had this ongoing investigation for 24 years, which if you saw the Jon Stewart show earlier this week, it was awesome. He just portrayed what a 24-year investigation and when you finally are like, all right, now let's get him. We've got enough after 28 years. They arrest them all. They're going to extradite them back to America, press charges. So you figure president of a soccer federation, FIFA International, might have a problem getting reelected with everyone in his, you know, his party going down on bribery charges. No. He still won. Beating Prince Hussein of Jordan 133-73. And this is exactly why there's the G8 and G20 summit. It's because if you let every country vote, you get shit like this that happens. I mean, any third world, I mean, okay, so Blatter, yeah, he did take the first World Cup to Africa. He took it to Brazil, which is awesome. But it can be argued that that's going to happen no matter who's in charge, because that's just the evolution of the world getting smaller and the game growing, and that's just anybody would have done that, probably. But because of that, everyone in Africa is right up next on this guy's jock, and so they all vote for him, and apparently he's in tight with Asia, you know, got them the World Cup there back in Korea, whenever that was, like 8 years ago or something, or 10 years ago. And so, anyway, that guy's back in power, but it's crazy. And so I found this great interview with Jimmy Conrad, and he actually was a previous guest also on Sportsaholics, played 1 year with Sporting KC, several years with Kansas City Wizard, previously, what is Sporting KC, their old name, but very funny, played his collegiately at UCLA and played on the national team. Has his own YouTube channel, but please go check that out after this interview. But here's his thoughts on the whole thing.
Tell us your reaction, first off, to Mr. Blatter being reelected, but second, it took a second round to do this.
It did, but I think that was just a mere formality. I think Blatter was going to win. I don't think it's a big surprise to anybody in the soccer world. There's a lot of corruption that exists, not only with FIFA, but all of its tentacles that it reaches out to. So I think if you're in it a long time, you understand this is going to be part of it. It's just sad from a voter's perspective, because you're voting for two different versions of Blatter, the senile old man that doesn't have any idea, or the guy that's the most corrupt in the whole entire world.
Yeah. Well, Brendan, get us up to speed on what happened here, because a Jordanian prince was also in the running, but he withdrew his candidacy?
He withdrew when it became clear that he wasn't going to win the absolute majority in any case, in any round of voting, to actually become president himself, just to spare everybody the next round. I was surprised, though, Jimmy, that he got as many as 73 votes. I had a whip count beforehand, and my most generous estimate was 60, and he went far beyond that, so he had to have picked up some South American teams, and perhaps even some Central American teams in order to do that. So were you surprised by the level of support that
actually
came?
I was surprised, and now I'm going to be interested to see what the repercussions are going to be. When you go against President Blatter, bad things usually happen.
Well, this is why there were paper ballots, because evidently the U.S. soccer asked that there be a paper ballot so that Sepp Blatter could never know who voted for what. Did you hear people saying things about Blatter in the last 2 days that you had not heard them say before? David Cameron, Michel Platini.
No, I mean, what those guys were saying rung true. It was just surprising for them to finally step up and take some ownership of it, to finally have the gall and the courage to say, you know what, we actually don't believe in who you are and what you stand for, and it's time. If you actually have the organization at its best interest, then you should just step down. Do the right thing for the organization. It's not about you and your unchecked power.
Jimmy, last hour when Brendan joined us, when all of this news was breaking, he gave me the best explanation that I have heard this week. I asked him, why is this so important outside of the realm of sports, outside of the realm of football, of soccer? And he said, it's about power. Is this about unchecked, unbridled power?
Oh, there's no question. And you want to think that maybe the International Olympic Committee would be next. The IOC would be another target, because they're another organization that is a behemoth and has this unchecked power and can do whatever they want without any repercussions. So it's sad to see that Seth Blatter is still going to remain in charge.
Jimmy, you mentioned repercussions twice. Let's talk about the repercussions, at least for Team USA. Mm-hmm. Is U.S. always going to be stuck in the group of death? Are we never going to be able to host a World Cup?
I mean, it's always a group of death when we're in there. We always seem to fall into that. I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe we get held hostage in terms of, maybe that's not the best phrasing of words, but for the 2026 World Cup, which would have been a nice place for us to land. Or maybe if they do end up moving the tournament from Qatar in 2022, would we have been a nice destination? Because we could turn around and hold that tournament in no time, 6 months maybe. England would be another nice spot for it. So it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully time heals some wounds. But, you know, if the authorities from the U.S. and Swiss and whoever else is going to get involved do end up bringing these people and flipping them, then I think Sepp Blatter could be in trouble no matter what happened in this election.
I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, so there you see. I mean, there's tons of political implications, too, because they're like, well, they can't pull it from Russia, because then Putin's going to be mad at Europe, especially if they give it to England. And then you don't want to start a third world war over soccer. But you can follow Jimmy Conrad. Very funny. At Jimmy Conrad. JimmyConrad. And does a great weekly show on YouTube as well. All right, so there you have it. That was episode 75. And it's been a long time, but guys, they will keep coming. Please email us at Sportsaholics. If you got any questions, tweet at us at Sportsaholics. All the videos, links, stuff like that will be at JohnJohnIsHere.com. That's JohnIsHere.com. I'd like to thank our sponsors, OneLovely.com. If you guys got great t-shirts, some skateboard decks, they sell a ton of stuff. And if you need some custom printing done, they can work with you there too. What a great company there. Go check them out. OneLovely.com. Guys, thanks for listening. Tell a friend and give us a shout. We're listening. Take me to the hop like a digital frog. Throw me the cat and I throw you the dog. Simple as a dimple, ain't it? A hole in your cheek. Let's hit the town so we can paint it red. Or maybe baby blue for two. As sure as you are my lover, that is my favorite color. And we get down. Off to my castle we drown. In each other's lovey puddle, huddle break. Fourth down and inches. We awesome players, don't ride no benches. Elegant princess, come to your senses.
I've noticed that you're one of a kind. That makes you kind of the one I'm sharing my spaghetti with. The lady and the tramp, the mystery, the myth. Not into running trains, but I got a thing for ya. Swoosh, I will do ya. Truly, I adore ya.
Grab your ticket, come get ready. The train's the express.
A 2002 bowl, what your ticket say? 2A, you're going my way. Went for ragtime, buddy, to a cakewalk stay. Didn't ask, cut a path, you made his way. My impression is one or no other. Kind of sort of yo, Dr. Demental. Had to come through and lap down to organize instrumental. We gonna keep it on the track and the gristle. This express, hit a whistle.
Change the face of the game. Then brought it back five deuce, four trade. The alliance of elite MCs. Attention, salute at ease, the world renowned. Hell, clean across seas, it's the critically acclaimed Dungeon Family. We are now boarding all seats and all rolls, but ain't no more tickets, it's the soul I show.
Grab your ticket, come get ready. The train's the up express, the train's the up express. Grab your ticket, come get ready.
I can, I know I can, I will. The B.I.G.B. knocking players off the field, for real. Dungeon Family got my sword and shield. To Campbellton, not Camelot, let's smoke a and chill.
Chill.
Like four babies and now you want the pill. Used to be raw dog, but now you want the grill. Seville, flawless, so now you want a drill. And taking a groupie home is just like loving some roadkill. Pimping and pandering on a level you can't serve. Dismantle, nouns, pronouns, adverbs and verbs. A smith, a word, a wordsmith, higher than a burst. Zip, 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 sipping up some syrup like 3-6. Engine number 9 is on the grind, like your molars when you rolling, that's your back teeth biting down. Now open up and say it, the D to the F's the greatest. The talent, the town, the team, the dream, your head has been deflated.
Grab your ticket, come get ready. The train's the